Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you find Psalm 125 this morning? We'll begin there. We are talking about, we have been for the last couple services, this will be third service, probably be it for today. It's kind of a mini series, not a long one. Just talking about trusting in the Lord. Today I want to talk about never moved. Everybody say never,
never.
Moved. Never. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 125 and read our verse there. And we'll look at some others as we need to. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but it abides forever." Let me read that to you out of a few more translations. Listen to this. "Those trusting in Jehovah are as Mount Zion. It is not moved. To the age it abideth." That's talking about what we'll be like if we trust in the Lord. "Those who trust," this is another translation, "those who trust in God are like Zion Mountain. Nothing can move it. A rock-solid mountain you can always depend on." I like that. Here's another one. "Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever." Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. In other words, if you trust in the Lord, you're truly trusting the Lord, how many know you'll never be moved? We used to have a guy, I was 20 in my 20s, and this guy was coming to our church, not this church, it was the first church I was at, and he would testify sometimes. And generally, he always included in the testimony, his scripture, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him." And that was his scripture, man. Trust in the Lord. He was an old guy. I look back now and I think, well, he was probably about my age or a little younger than I am right now. But when I was 20, I thought he was an old guy. I hope you 20 old people don't think I'm an old guy. Amen. Because I could probably still whoop some of you. I don't know. If not, I'll throw Pastor Jerry on you and he can. All right. But how many understand that there's something about trusting God that causes you to be rock solid, not move? Now, we are in a time, I'm not going to preach long this morning, just so you know, so don't get shocked if I'm done in 25 minutes. But then don't get shocked if I'm still going at 50, all right? Now, how many know we are living in the time, the Bible described it, and he talked about it in Hebrews, Jesus talked about it in Luke, about a shaking going on. And the Bible talks about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And, you know, I grew up, some of you are a little older than I am, some of you are a lot younger than I am, but I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. That's the years that I grew up in. And there was a lot of turmoil, especially in the 60s, and even into the 70s with Vietnam War and all that was going on, and the protest and the rebellion against, you know, anybody in authority. And now, you know, some of those people are in authority. And it's just not working out very well. But anyway, we had some tumultuous times. You know, that was our generation, you know. I grew up, you know, on Gilligan's Island. And lava lamps, which we thought were high tech of the day, you know, those were cool. We look at them now like, this is stupid. But anyway, you know, at that time they were cool. We had black lights, remember those, the black lights, and we had 78 vinyl records. And how many are with me? And then, man, technology started kicking in and we got 8-tracks. We thought, man, we have arrived. And then, I don't know, sometime we went to cassettes. And I still miss those. But anyway, It was a troublesome time. But listen, I don't think, matter of fact, I don't just think, I know that in my 60-some years of living, I've never seen anything like what I see today. Everything's been shaken. Everything. And Jesus said it would be. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that there's coming a shaking, and everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But thank God, you and I are in a kingdom that can't be shaken. Amen? We're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we have a God who's not shaken, and we have a faith that can't be shaken. Amen. Amen. And when we believe in God, we're not going to be shaken. You know, we're not going to be moved. Amen. We're gonna be just like the Bible talks about here, Mount Zion. It abides forever. Hallelujah. Now everything that can be shaken right now is being shaken, you know. But we need to understand, sometimes people say, well, God is shaking the church. No, the church is part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. Now, there may be people being shaken in the church, but the reason they're being shaken is because their foundation is faulty. You have to build the foundation on being a doer of the word. See, Brother Greg and I were talking about this the other night. You can know a lot of word, but that doesn't mean anything. You got to do it. You got to be a doer of the word. So just knowing what the Bible says, that's great. You got to know it. You got to have the knowledge, but you got to be a doer of it. You got to walk it out, right? And when you do that, praise God. That Jesus said it's like a wise man that built his house on the rock. The floods came, the winds beat, you know, the storm came, beat against the house, and the house stood because it was founded on a rock. And so it's not, you know, you can't, you know, because one of the things that we have to realize is God didn't just create us to be reference libraries. He called us to be doers, you know. You know, I mean, you know, it's like I've said, you could know, you know, Finnis J. Dake, who I told you this the other day, Finnis J. Dake, who authored the Dake Study Bible. It's a fantastic Pentecostal study Bible. And he's in heaven, has been for a long time. But he spent 100,000 hours working on this Bible. And, you know, Dr. Summerall said he would sometimes see Dr. Dake, and he said his eyes would be bloodshot because he's been spending hours working on the Bible, annotating it, like making notes, you know, on the Bible and all. You know, Mr. Dake was in Dr. Summerall's church in South Bend one time, and he had Mr. Dake sit on the platform in a chair, and Mr. Dake quoted the whole entire book of Hebrews with the punctuation marks. That's a brain, isn't it? And they follow him. He didn't miss it. I mean, I'm not saying he just quoted the whole book of Hebrews, but, you know, the printing press added punctuations, periods, semicolons, colons, commas, etc. He quoted all of that. He had it all down. Now, that's something else. But did you know you could have all of that, but if you don't do any of that, it doesn't profit you. I mean, y'all, you're blessed by hearing it. Don't misunderstand. There's a blessing. But you're really not, going to be truly blessed until you do it. Right? You know, I learned a long time. I was raised up around old Pentecost. I got saved in, they called it the Gleason Pentecostal Revival Church. And I got saved around, now, when I came into the church, it was starting to get infiltrated by charismatics. You got to know some church history, know what I'm talking about. But these were people that were Baptists. These were people that were Methodists. These were people that were Catholics and Lutherans. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost and got the left foot of fellowship from their church. You know what the left foot? You've heard of the right hand of fellowship, right? You know what the left foot of fellowship is? Booted out. So they started coming to this Pentecost church because it was the only tongue-talking church in the whole area that they knew about. So it started getting flavored a little different, but there were still the old Pentecostal there. This was their church. And I remember when we started singing chorus songs, you know, The joy of the Lord is my strength. Remember those old chorus songs? What was that one about joy? Do you remember that one? Jason, you remember that one about joy? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. There you go. Down in my heart. You know, they were real, they were cut, you know, you, some of y'all laughing at them, but they were revolutionizing songs back in our day. And man, you know, those old Pentecostals didn't, they didn't cotton to them too well, you know. It took a while for them to warm up and all. Because, you know, they sang a lot of good songs. Don't misunderstand me. They had some really good songs, like I Surrender All, like the church kind of forgot about that part, and so forth and all. But, you know, they also had some unbelieving songs, too, and because we sang out of a blue hymnal, and there were a lot of good songs in a blue hymnal, but there were some that should have had a red flag on them, dangerous to your faith. Right? Singing this may be hazardous to your spiritual health because it's not true. Come on. You know, at the end, one of them, like at the end of the journey, there's God. No, God's with me all the way through the journey. I'm not expecting him to show up at the end and say, well, I'm glad you made it finally. You know, could you help me a little bit along the way? How many know he's with us all the way through the journey? And so there were some songs that, you know, it's like that needs axed, that needs cut out, you know, and all that. But I grew up around old Pentecost. I grew up around that, and spiritually speaking, come up and learn a lot of things and a lot of good things, and so forth. But listen, you know, right now, let me go this way. Right now, we are. I've never seen shaking like what we're seeing today. Every institution is being shaken. Everything is being challenged, even to the point that we're supposed to accept that there's multiple, many different genders. I have a word for you. You want to hear it? Delusional. Even the animal kingdom isn't that stupid. There were two monkeys sitting on a tree one time. And a human being walked by. And one monkey said to the other monkey, did you hear that they came from us? The other monkey said, no way. Man descended the ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't come from us. Listen, everything's being shaken, but listen, we are in a kingdom that can't be shaken. I just want to challenge you. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world change your thinking. Don't cave in because of pressure, because you're caving to a kingdom that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And you want to stay in the kingdom that can't be shaken. You want to stay on truths that can't be shaken. Hallelujah. He's in heaven now, but you know, I thought he was a prophet, D. James Kennedy. Anybody remember him? He was a Presbyterian preacher? But he had a hold of the Word of God, I'm telling you. And he used to talk about truths that transform. God's truth transform you. The world's truth will embondage you. But God's truth transforms. So we have to realize that if we trust in God, we're in a kingdom that can't be shaken. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If you trust God, have you know, and you really trust God, it's going to turn out. There's a lot of things we could teach on this morning, but because of our time's sake, we're not going to. But a lot of people, they just throw around. They don't understand that true trust, true faith is built on God's Word. How many know if you don't have a word from it? How many know? Let me back up here. Back in our early days of learning about faith, we learned a lot of good things. But we didn't learn everything. We had to learn some things that we thought, you know, just like, I can't use my faith to make you do anything. Right? You know, people say, well, it's like Brother Hagin said one time, he was walking across campus, and he said a student, he was teaching classes, and he said, it was between classes, and a student came up to him and said, can I ask you a question? Brother Hagin said, well, if you hurry, he said, I got to make this class, just walk with me. And the guy said, I want to know why Uncle Charlie died. Brother Hagin said, well, I don't know. I didn't know Uncle Charlie died. He's talking about his Uncle Charlie. He said, I did everything you said. Well, first of all, you should start doing what the Bible says. And he said, Uncle Charlie died. Brother Hagin said, well, what did Uncle Charlie want? He said, well, Uncle Charlie wanted to go home and be with the Lord. He said, well, Uncle Charlie got what he believed for. Right? See, we used to think, well, I'm going to use my faith for them. You just better use your faith for you and find out what the Bible said, promised you. Right? Because we think, you know, we could just use our faith and, you know, I remember the days of mate claiming. I'm claiming them. They may not have you. And once you got them, you may wish you could unclaim them. Unclaimed freight, remember that store? You see them in there someday. There they are. How many know what I'm talking about? See, sometimes we think we're believing, but we're not really accurate with what the Bible said. Right. Well, didn't Jesus say that if you believe what you say, you could have what you say? Didn't he say that, Mark? Didn't he say, whosoever shall say on this mountain shall not doubt, but shall believe in his heart that the things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says? Didn't that come out of the Master? Is that true? Yeah, but you know, people will say, see, anything I say, if I believe it, I can have it. That's right. But the kicker is, you got to believe it. Right? And how does faith come? And hearing by what? So that means you got to have some word on it. You may say I'm believing it, but if you don't have the Bible on, it's not real true Bible believing. You just made that up. Right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So people say, I'm trusting God. Well, are you really trusting God? Are you really? Amen? Yeah. Let's go to Psalm 56. We're in Psalm 120. Go to Psalm 56. Give me just a little time here. Psalm 56. Just you got to make sure you're really trusting God, that you have a promise. You know, we used to just, I'm believing God for this, I'm believing God for that. And when you got down to it, we really didn't have any promises on it. We didn't have any Bible on it. Are you with me? The word works, faith works, but it's got to be real Bible faith. It's based on what God promised you. Amen. Not on what you just made up or you'd like to have. What'd God say? Amen. You know, I remember that mate claiming thing, you know, like I told you, if I'm claiming him, I'm claiming her. Hey, they got something to do with it. God's not going to make them marry you because you got some kind of goofy idea about faith. Thank you, everybody. Hallelujah. I know. But the Bible gives us promises, right? What did God promised to meet all of our needs, didn't he? But he didn't tell us how he was going to do it. He just said he would. Amen. Right? You know, one way he meets your needs is J-O-B. Job? No, job. Isn't that right? You know? So there's different things. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And there's different levels to faith. We need to know that. This isn't a teaching on faith this morning. But it's just important that we understand God never fails. Right? That's all I'm after, is to let you know God never fails. We talked about it Wednesday night. Stay on God's side. Job stayed on God's side. And he ended up with twice as much as what he had before. And actually, that's what God was after. The devil was after to get Job's faith, to get him to curse God and his wife even was in on that, curse God and die. Remember that? How'd you like to be married to that? The only thing I think of, she had the life insurance paid up. Like, go ahead and die, man. I mean, so, but that's what the devil was after. Because the devil said to God, he said, if you've got you've blessed Job, you've made a hedge about Job, but if that ever gets broken, he'll curse you to your face. But you know what? He didn't. He didn't. When trouble hit, what did he do? He worshiped the Lord. He said, you know, we thank God when we had good. Let's thank him when we got evil or bad. Let's continue thanking God. Right? He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Once again, we know it wasn't God doing it, but Job didn't know it. He didn't know it. He was living the book of Job, not reading it. We read it. And see that Satan went forth and did that too. We know that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. Life more abundantly, didn't he? So we know that because we have the New Testament. We're blessed to have the Bible, all the books of the Bible. Isn't that good and awesome? We can read that. Job's living and he doesn't know this. He doesn't know all this. He doesn't have this teaching. And so, but yet his integrity. Even though he thought God was doing this, I'm still going to serve him because he just knew this. God is always right in what he does. And he's always good. He's always got my benefit in mind. And Job stayed that way. And the Bible says that God blessed him with twice as much as he had. He was already the richest man in the East. Now he's double the richest man in the East. See, that just shows you what's enough with God. Job was already rich. God said, I'm going to make you twice that. Well, I just think they're too rich, Pastor. Yeah, but if it was you, would you think that? No. Well, pastor's wife got a new vehicle. Huh. Well, then she was going to give it to you, but she's not now because you don't believe in new vehicles. You don't believe in giving. Okay, that wasn't totally honest, but she's not going to give it to you. But it made a point, right? Yeah. Right? You know, like we say, if I were them, this is the way I'd do it. No, you wouldn't. You'd do it the way they did it because you'd be them. Yeah. I mean, come on, get a clue. Yeah. All right, did you find Psalm 56? Yeah. Look with me. Go with me to verse 3. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. I mean, sometimes fear tries to come at us, doesn't it? But what time we're afraid, you know, sometimes you get bad news. Fear tries to get on you, doesn't it? You know, we're not immune to that. We're not like we're in this bubble where we're immune to all the attacks and the fears and all the emotions that come. Absolutely not. But he said, I'm going to trust in you. And notice verse 4, in God, I'll praise his word. So when things are coming against you, what should you do? Praise God for it. Praise his word, right? Praise God. Thank God the word says. In God, I have put my trust. Listen to this. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me or what the natural might happen in the natural. You could say it that way. I'm not going to fear because I'm going to trust in God. Right? Listen, Jesus, remember the scripture in John 16, 33? Where Jesus said, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Remember that scripture? Listen, I want to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. I think this is the Amplified Classic. They've updated the Amplified, like, I don't know why, but and from what I'm told, it's not as good. But this is out of the Classic version, I think. It says, I've told you, this is John 16, 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Listen to this. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. Jesus came here and beat the world for us. Amen. Didn't he? Amen. Everything he did for us, right? Amen. So if he beat the world for us, There's no reason for us not to beat it. It's been beaten. I grew up, I was a boxing fan growing up. I still am. Phyllis says it's not going to be in heaven. She's never been to heaven, but she seems to know. She reminds me, it's not going to be in heaven. And, you know, I grew up, and I remember, you know, when I was Muhammad Ali, he was Cassius Clay when he first started out, Muhammad Ali, and watched those boxers evolve, you know. And I was watching a fight one night, might have been in the 1990s. I think it was maybe the early 90s, could have been late 80s, but I'm thinking more probably, I think it was probably the early 90s. And there was a fighter in those days that we hadn't seen many like him in a long time. His name was Mike Tyson. And, you know, it had been a long time, you know, since we'd seen anybody quite like him. He was, like, frightening. But I was watching him, and he was fighting a guy by the name of Buster Douglas. Tremendous underdog. Matter of fact, it was supposed to be probably over. Most of us thought it would be over in the first round. But it didn't happen that way. Buster Douglas whooped Mike Tyson that night. I'll never forget the scene. Mike Tyson laying on the canvas trying to get up, trying to grab his mouthpiece and put it in. I'm thinking, now's the time for me to step in and finish this. He has whooped. Jesus has whooped the world. Amen. Now it's time for me to step in the ring. I'll take it from here. He's already defeated it, right? See, even though he said in the world there's going to be things come at you, right? Nobody's immune to that. But you can be of good cheer. Why can you be of good cheer? Because you know the outcome. If you trust in God, you know the outcome. You're going to come out on the other side having defeated it because Jesus already defeated it for you. Man, that's good. I said, that's good. So you got to remember that. So that's why Jesus, he said, I'm saying these things unto you. I'm speaking this to you. I'm letting you know. You disciples are going to face some things in life, but I've already beat the world for you. So face it with good cheer. Amen. Oh. Sometimes you can tell when people are going through things. We're not speaking bad about you, but you got to watch it. You don't want the devil to think he's winning. Is that right? You know, you don't want him. I remember, I've told you this before, but I remember one time we had some people in church and they were going to do a 21-day fast. You know, going to do a 21-day fast. Some of them probably hadn't done a 21-minute fast. But they're going to start with 21 days. And they're not going to listen to you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to pay attention. You try to tell them maybe you ought to bite something a little less. And after a while, it just got to the point, would you guys eat a cheeseburger? Because every service they came in, they looked like they'd lost a victory in the parking lot before they got there. Amen. And I remember Brother Eddie saying something. I'm not saying that this is, you know, theological doctrine we preach, but I thought it was pretty good. He said, you know what? He said, when I fast, he said, I don't say anything about it. He said, because I can make it through a big part of the day before the devil finds out what's going on. I don't know how accurate that was, but I thought, that's pretty good. Because you know what happens? He finds out you're fasting, he'll start on you in the morning. You'll be like Peter. You'll have visions, all right. Remember Peter up on the housetop when he was hungry? Would have eaten, fell over in a trance, saw this sheet let down from heaven, all kinds of four-footed beast in it, and the voice said, rise, kill, and eat Peter. You know what the devil will do to you? He'll see a vision. You'll have a sheet let down with all kinds of junk food in it. Rise, unwrap, and eat. So he said to me, he said, I don't even mention it. I don't even talk about it. He said, because I'm a good ways through the day before the devil finds out what I'm doing. And I think there's some reality in that. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I mean, Jesus, now it's a, it, you know, I mean, when you're fasting, some people need to know you're fasting because they fix your food. Or, but Jesus' point was that you're doing it to be made known, right? Yes. It's like the giving thing, right? Doing it to be made known. Yes. You don't want to do things to be made known. Right. Doesn't mean people can't see you give or know you gave, but your purpose has to be right. Amen. And I said this back then. I remember those days. I got up and I said this. I said, listen, guys, let me tell you something. Because all these people seem like, not all of them, but a lot of them, seem like they wanted everybody to know they're fasting just by the look on their face. I said, let me tell you something, guys. Here's the deal. How many meals a day do we normally eat? Three. I said normal. I know there's 6 and 7 guys around here. But three, we say 3 meals a day, all right? Say 3 meals a day. Times 21. How many is that? 63 meals. I said to him, I'm not missing 63 meals for you to pat me on the back and say that was great. I want a bigger reward than that. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to miss one meal for you to pat me on the back. So if you're doing this to be patted on the back, let me go ahead and pat you on the back, get it over with, and go eat. But if you're doing it unto the Lord, that's different. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, we're out of time. But anyway, let's look at one last scripture and we will close right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. This is it. Psalm 37:3, I'll just quote that to you. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and truly you'll feed on His faithfulness. Hallelujah. How many know there's still stuff we need to trust in the Lord and just do good? Amen. Just do what's right. Look at this in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we'll close right here. 16 and verse 7. We're just talking about never moved. When you trust in God, you're never moved. You're strong. You're like Mount Zion. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7, the Bible said this, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, yet with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. See, God is just looking for people that are trusting in him that he can work great victories for. Amen. See, that's what he's telling. But the king, he trusted in the arm of flesh. And God said to him, verse 9, herein, you've done foolishly, and therefore from now on you're going to have wars. I mean, it would have been better for him to trust the Lord, right? And Asa was wroth with the seer or the prophet. He put him in the prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now, before we read on, let me just say this to you about Asa. Asa was a good king. The Bible said he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But what happened was he started trusting in men instead of God. And that'll get you off. See, that'll get you off. See, if you're just, you know, you'll get bad attitudes about you. Isn't that right? Because men will fail you. Right? People, I'm just trusting, you know, that pastor is going to come over and mow my yard. I can prophesy tall grass at your house. Now look at this, verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Doesn't tell us what it was, but he had some great disease in his feet. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Once again, he's not trusting God, right? Now, let me tell you what this doesn't say. It doesn't say it was wrong for Asa to go to the doctor. But he didn't give God even a shot.
Wow.
See, he didn't even seek the Lord. That tells me some things here. Number one, it tells me this. These people in this day must have believed you went to God for healing. Asa knew better. He knew where to go. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to go to the doctor. That's not the point. Are y'all following me? That's not the point. God's not upset because he went to the doctor, but God didn't get even included on this, and God's the great physician. In his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, notice, he got this disease in his 39th year of his reign, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. 2 years later, he's dead. How many know he was moved, wasn't he? Why? Because he didn't trust God. He didn't go to God. It's not a matter of going to the doctor. God's not against doctors. Matter of fact, I think God helps doctors. I think God gave them the wisdom they have. You say, well, a doctor misdiagnosed me. Well, they're not perfect. But a lot of times believers, God's the last one they think about. It's like, well, have you prayed about it? Well, I didn't think about that. Well, I think I'd think about that. Right? You know, I've gone to the doctor before. Thank God for their help. Praise God. I appreciate them. Appreciate all I can do for you. But God's the great physician. I'm not going to leave him out of it. Amen. I'm going to him. Glory be to God. Because I know one thing about him. Number one, he's perfect at his work. He's perfect. Number two, he doesn't charge near as much. Number three, he doesn't make you wait. That's why they call you patience. You'll get that. And there's not a certificate on his wall that says practicing medicine. I have a license to practice it. Guess who they're practicing on? Yeah. But Asa's problem was this. He knew to rely on God, but he didn't do it. He knew when he went to war to rely on God, but he didn't do it. He knew when that disease came in his feet to go to God, but he didn't do it. And he died. And he had wars. He was moved. But he could have went to God. And guess what? That story would have read different. Asa would have had great victory. Asa would not have died in the 41th year of his reign. He would have lived. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for good doctors. Thank God for honest doctors. They admit they can't do everything. And admit that God sometimes heals. Hallelujah. Amen. I know a minister, he prayed for this person. I forget what was wrong with them now, but they had something like it had been diagnosed. And I think it was incurable. But I remember the story. This minister, they got in his meeting. He prayed for them. God healed them. They went to the doctor, the same doctors that diagnosed them. They ran tests on them and said, well, it's not there. What happened? What other doctor did you go to? They said, well, I went to this meeting and this preacher told him what he did, prayed for them and all that. I love what the doctor said. He said, well, thank God. He must have the answer. We don't. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And they said, we'll certify it. We'll certify it. You had it. Now it's gone. We didn't remove it. Glory be to God. Yes, that's a great physician. Did you get something?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the team to come up. We're going to worship the Lord before we go. Come on, God is good all the time. How many know that? He's always right. How many know that? Hallelujah. Everything he does it good, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we just trust him, praise God, guess what? It's all going to work out.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.